Well, good morning. So glad you guys are here today as we kind of wrap up this series on fear. And to be honest with you, I had a different message that I had been planning, that was in our plans for weeks now, that while I was away at high school camp this week, God really pressed on me to kind of come up with something different. And so I have something that I really want to be able to share with you in this area of fear. That really the root of what God put on my heart is at the very end of the message. I just want to be able to deliver that to you. So we're going to change gears a little bit. And I want to talk to you in general about how to overcome fears. We kind of pull this whole thing together. We've talked about many different types of fear. We've talked about how do we get through many different types of fear. And I want to give you kind of a wrap-up of how, in general, you overcome things that are fearful, because fear can just be paralyzing. And sometimes there are life decisions that paralyze us, and other times there's just certain things that paralyze us. Many of you know about my fear of heights and how paralyzing that could be. And so it hit me again this week. I was at high school camp, and so we were there with 2,000 students from all around kind of the southeast in this one location. It was at a resort that had a water park. And so I'm riding water slides with students. And one of them, you have to go up pretty high, up this rickety stairwell that didn't look too safe to me. And you just keep going up and up, which I was fine. I'm in line, and I'm fine. And then we reached the point towards the top. And for whatever reason, I decided to look over the edge of the railing, down. And so as I did, I just stopped. Like everything in the world just stopped as I realized I'm up on this rickety stairwell. And in the moment, I don't really know how long I stood there, except some kids, I came back to my senses with the kids going, "Hey, Pastor Clay, you need to move." And people had literally gone up three flights of steps because I'm frozen and I'm not moving, and so I'm not leaving this place. So sometimes I get it. Fear can just be paralyzing to who we are, but it can really wreak havoc on our life in the decisions that we need to be able to make. But what I wanted to begin with is just to say that not all fear is bad. We've been talking about how can we fear less, but how do we trust God more, and fear of this and the fear of that. Not all fear is bad. Sometimes there is constructive, what we would call constructive fear, fear that causes you and keeps you from harm. So those of us that have grown up in the South and live in the South, when like three snowflakes fly, we have this fear of driving on icy roads, right? And so we don't get out there. And that can be a very healthy fear because, hey, if you're from the North, we don't drive on snow roads. So we don't know what we're doing. We admit we don't know what we're doing. And that fear could save you from being in a ditch somewhere, right? And so we kind of have this healthy sense of fear. Those of you that are working in business, you can have a fear of a big presentation you got coming, and it's a really big deal, and maybe it's a big sales presentation, or maybe you have a bid out, and it's a very important bid, and maybe something, a promotion hangs on it, or business hangs on being able to get this bid in and be able to do it. And so there is a fear that comes inside of you, and that's a healthy kind of fear that drives you. If you're here and you're a student, and maybe you remember being a student, the fear that comes for that exam, right? Did I study enough? Did I read enough? Did I know what's going on? There's a healthy fear that can keep you from harm, and it can also keep you on your edge so that you do things that are right. So not all fear is bad. Now, Jesus, who we said, talked and used the words fear not, or in that phrase, a lot of times, more than he used any other kind of phrase, who would tell us, hey, don't be afraid and fear not. He also said there are some things, at least a thing, that you should fear. And so I wanted to point that out real quick. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, this is Jesus talking. He says, you should fear. Now, again, he's been saying, fear not, but you should fear the one who was able to destroy your body and soul in hell. Some fear is legitimate. Some fear is important. And what Jesus is saying here is there is this healthy fear you should have of what eternity has to bring. That you should live your life with one eye on this world and what's going on in this world, and that's great. But you should keep an eye on your future and what God wants for you and what is the destiny, because there is something after this life. And you should have some concerns about that. You should have a healthy sense of fear that would keep you driving towards the thing that matters. Because every once in a while, we have something that reminds us of our mortality, don't we? Generally, it's someone that is close to us that passes away. It could be a mom, it could be a grandma, a dad, a granddad, it could be a brother, a sister, a close friend, a coworker. And when someone passes away, there's this idea at that point where we all begin to go, oh yeah, we don't live forever. And Jesus says, yes, you need to keep this in mind, that this life and what you got going on and all the stress and all the pressures you got, there is something else that's going on. And you should, not in a way of like, oh, just be afraid. What he's basically saying is, no, there's a healthy sense. You should think about things that are beyond this life. It is good to think about things that are on this life. So there is this constructive fear when it comes to our spiritual nature, when it comes to how we handle relationships, how we handle business. There is constructive fear that can cause us to do good things. But what I want to focus on in this message is what I would call destructive fear. Fear that takes away from our life. Fear that robs us. Fear that paralyzes us. And Bill Hybels, who's a pastor in Chicago, wrote in his book, Simplify, he wrote this. He says, this is the kind of fear that gets in the way and nips away at the quality of our lives and our work and our relationships and our recreational pursuits. And I like what he says here. It's the kind of fear that makes life feel ominous and dangerous and makes it impossible for us to feel joy and satisfaction and exhilaration about the future. That kind of fear is destructive fear. That kind of fear is life-sucking fear, joy-sucking fear. And that is the kind of fear that I want to talk to you about today. How do you overcome this paralyzing, robbing fear that makes it impossible for us to feel joy and satisfaction? It makes it impossible for us to have hope for the future. How do we overcome and conquer these types of things? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, which we could just pause right there and say, this idea, this destructive fear is what Timothy is talking about here. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but he's given us a power of power and love and self-discipline. Not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. And so there's the opposite side of this, and how do we overcome this type of fear, this paralyzing fear? It's by allowing the power of God and the love of God to begin to work in your life. Simply put, God wants us to conquer these debilitating, paralyzing, joy-wrecking worries that just rob us of life. And my guess is that all of us in this room, we have some timidity and fear about something in our life, I would imagine, even right now. If we were to go around the room and we were to be honest and say, what is it that keeps you up at night? What is it that you're losing sleep over? What is it? What is that thing that you are afraid of? I imagine all of us could say, yeah, this is the thing that just causes me to shrink back. This is the thing I would love to be able to go there, but it's just paralyzed me and keeps me put to where I'm at, that I can't seem to move. I think all of us in this room battle with this destructive kind of fear that robs us of the joy that God wants us to have. And when it comes to this idea of overcoming fear, I think people who stand on stages like I do and talk about Christian truth, sometimes we do you a disservice by overstating the bounds of what Scripture has to say about overcoming fear. I've heard pastors say, you know, God is going to remove all your fears. I've heard that. It's just not true. It's not really found in Scripture that God is going to remove. God will be with you. God will walk with you. God will teach you how to overcome it. But if I'm honest here, I don't want to sell you on something that's false. God is not going to remove your fear. Actually, he says there are some things that you can do, and yes, I will come alongside you, but you have some responsibility here. He's not just going to wave a magic wand over and make poof, everything go away. That's generally not how God works. Because if you've been around here at Next Level for a while, one of the things I say over and over is that God, one of his main goals in your life is to grow you up. It's for you to grow up. Those of us that have had children or are raising children now, your main goal is to grow them up and get them out of the house, right? So you can go back to enjoying life. I'm just teasing. God's goal is to grow you up. And so why would he just remove something when he says, look, I will help you, but you've got a role to play. There are some things that you need to do, and the reason you need to do them is because you need to grow up. And the same thing happens spiritually. God said, look, I need you to grow up, So when it comes to overcoming fear, what I want to share with you a couple of thoughts, and then I want to get to the root of the message I think that God gave me to be able to deliver to you. How is it that we can grow up in this area of overcoming fear? Because part of it, there's a role for us to play, quite honestly. I'm going to talk about that. And then there's a role that God plays. And then I want to give you some scriptures at the end of this, some things that have meant something to me personally. I hope they can mean something to you in the way of being able to overcome this debilitating, devastating types of fear. So let's jump in with the time we got remaining. If you're going to get serious about overcoming fear, here's some things that I think you do. And the first couple of them are basically your responsibility, things that God says, look, I want you to be able to look into this. And the first one is to seek to understand whatever is fear's origin in your life. Seek to understand that origin of the fear that you have in your life. Where does it come from? And maybe you don't think about these kinds of things. You're just afraid. But generally, our fear comes from somewhere in some thing. And when I was looking into this, it was interesting. It came across some studies done by Dr. Joseph Wolbe, who is a psychologist in South Africa. And he devoted his whole life, not to just people's phobias and fears, but trying to get to the root cause of what some of these phobias and fears were. What is it that triggered this type of thing that happened in their life? And some of the interesting stories that he was telling about this was he had one patient in particular that was deathly afraid of water. So I don't know if anybody here is afraid of water, and they wouldn't go near a pool, a lake, a beach. That's like, I don't want anything to do with water. And what had happened, if you traced this fear, so this had been decades and decades long of just avoiding water, the fear went all the way back to when they were, I think they were 8 or 9 years old, and they were at a summer camp, and it was a summer camp where they were teaching them how to swim. And they had a friend that was in the pool with them that, while they were being instructed on how to swim, took their head, buried it under the water, and held them under there to the point that they thought they were going to drown. And because of that, they became so afraid of water that they avoided the rest of their life, to which he pointed out the obvious thing that I thought when I read it as well. The healthy fear would be avoid having the type of friend around that's going to poke your head under the water and hold you under there till you're almost dead. And then go swimming. Right? But what he began to say is, many times the thing that we become afraid of is not the thing that we should have been afraid of. That things got a little bit messed up and things got a little bit turned around in how they go about. Another one that he talked about is you know, a lot of people's fear. How many of you have a fear of public speaking? It's just, you don't want to stand on a stage or in front of a group of people and speak. How many of you would raise your hand? And you're just afraid to raise your hand because it's kind of like public speaking. And what he talked about this is just time after time after time, those that have a fear of public speaking, there was a moment and an event in their life and that happened that was devastating to them, that told them, I don't want to be a public speaker anymore. So it was like in second grade or third grade, and you had to do the book report or whatever, you know, and stand up and speak in front of everybody. And as they spoke, you know, the kids made fun of them, or the teacher said, oh, you're awful, or that's a funny shirt, or whatever happened. And it put a fear in them of public speaking. Those of you that don't know me very well, I have a fear of public speaking. I do. I'm very comfortable in this environment because I've got to know you and it's all good. But as I was coming into this church, I would stand behind right back here. And those who were in the band and all, they would see me. I was almost hyperventilating and sick. I don't like standing in front of crowds of people and talking. It's just not something that I've enjoyed. And I've stood in front of tons of crowds before. It still doesn't ease the fear. So I had to kind of go on this adventure myself. Like, where did this come from? And the Holy Spirit just took me right back to the moment in time where it started. When I was in school running for student council, and I, you know, you have to stand up and do your speech. And as I did my speech, everybody, you know, basically laughed at me and everything else. And it was a devastating, horrible experience. Don't cry for me. I'm good now. But it was in that moment that I began to be afraid to stand in front of people, right? There is a place, and you can go back to that place, and you need to find that place because God wants to heal whatever wound that it was when you experienced what that place is. Other examples, he was like, there were people that were afraid to drive because, you know, 30 years ago they had run a car off into a ditch, and so they were no longer going to be able to drive. There was one example of someone who just avoided boats because they got seasick one time when they were 14. But just on and on and on it goes. If you're afraid of something, if there's a fear, you need to get to the root cause, because God wants to heal that. Not just to get you to overcome your fear, but there was something devastating that happened that you have just moved on, and this thing that you have going is just a coping mechanism. God wants to heal you from the moment and the time of where something goes wrong. There are people, I encounter them, I love hanging out with people that are far away from God, don't know God, don't really care about God. And what I find time and time again is there are people that basically are afraid and avoid God because at some point in their life they had a bad experience with one of us. That someone at work or someone in the neighborhood or something said something, did something, and it just was horrible. Maybe it was in the time of their greatest need and someone gave them some pithy answer or told them that God doesn't love them, that God hates them or something. You know, it's somewhere in there. And because they had a bad example, they now have this fear of going to church. And it's a genuine fear they have. You see, but it's all based around an event. That God still wants to heal the wound of the event. It is really, really important that if you're going to face your fear, you need to get, and what is the root cause of this and why is it there, so that you can allow God to begin to heal the things that are going on in you. And if you continue to avoid facing that fear, maybe you've lived long enough to figure this out, it just grows and gets bigger and bigger, doesn't it? It's not like if you avoid it that the fear gets smaller. It gets bigger and almost takes on a life of its own. And, you know, we have to have the strength to look into that fear and say, this is what it is. We have to have friends in our life that'll help us in this journey, which, you know, kind of leads me to my next point. But here's the thing. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us, and he challenges us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says this verse, and in the midst of it, he says, you need to take captive every thought. Have you guys read that one? Take captive every thought. And what Paul is saying is you need to think about what you're thinking about. And what I would say when it comes to fear, you need to think about it rather than just be afraid. So many times, I can't do that, I'm afraid. Well, why is that? Can you take that captive? Can you take that thought captive? Peter goes on to tell us that we need to guard our heart and guard our mind. He uses a very military type term. Take your thoughts captive. Guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Think about what it is. Not just I'm afraid. Ask the Holy Spirit, why am I afraid? Can you reveal to me what's going on here? What is this about? Why can't I seem to move? It makes no sense that I don't step out into this. Why do I stay in this fear thought pattern? Investigate what it is. Take that thought captive. Go after it. Find out where the root is. Which leads me to the next thing. Once you are there and you understand the root, the second thing you have to do is expose the lie. You see, the way that our enemy works is he works off lies and deception. And so many of the things that you are afraid of are not even true. They are maybe partially true. Maybe they're based on something that once was true. Maybe they're based on something that is true. But by the time it reaches your head and it reaches your fear, it is no longer true. It's just a lie. It is not the thing that is true. And so the thing that you're afraid of is not even based in reality. It's just deception. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus calls Satan the father of lies. That this is who he is. This is what he does. That he just whispers lies all the time. Well, this and this and what about this and what about this and what about this one? And most of the time, the thoughts that he's giving you, they're not even true. You need to be able to expose those things to determine what is really true. What is true about this moment? Because our minds, if we allow them to, will take us to some very scary places. To illustrate this, I want you to think back. Think back to the time, many of us are married in here, but think back before you were married and you were dating in some significant dating relationship, or maybe you are in a significant dating relationship, okay? So you're in this moment, and let's say that it's Friday, and the person that you're dating says, hey, I'm going to call you tomorrow, right? Hey, let's talk about it. We're going to call, and we're going to talk tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, and no phone call. And it's 11 o'clock at night, it's 11:30 at night, it's midnight, it's about to be the very next day after that, and they have not called. Where do your thoughts go? Do they go to, oh, well, you know, I mean, just something come up, it's all good. No. At best, ladies, your thought goes to, oh my God, they've had an accident. He's off the road and he's dead somewhere. And I wasn't there to save him and tell him that I love him, and oh, now he's dead and he's gone, right? I mean, that's probably where it goes, right? Guys, where does it go if you're a guy? I'll tell you where it goes, right? You're sitting here thinking, man, it's 11 o'clock. It's like, she dumped me, right? That's where your thought goes. She dumped me. I knew I had outkicked my coverage. I knew that she was too good for me, and now I'm exposed, and now, and then you go one more step if you're a guy. It's like, and she's probably out with another guy right now, and she's in some other guy's arms, and she's whispering all her deeper secrets to it. They're planning their secret wedding that had already been planning that I didn't know about, and they're naming their unborn children right now. This is all happening, and this is why they haven't called, right? This happens, and none of it is true. You find out the next day, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I got so caught up. You know, my grandma, you know, needed me or something, and we had to take care of him, and we had to go to the hospital. You know, you find out, well, that wasn't even true, but your head took you to the ugliest places and the worst places that you could possibly go, because this is how the enemy operates, and you have to begin to have a place to expose what those lies are. Now, that's a funny story, but it also happens with more serious things. Let's say you're working at a job, and in your job, maybe it causes you to do some things that maybe go against your values, or a little bit unethical, or maybe because of the schedule or whatever's going, it's robbing you of your family time, and you're not able to spend time with God and grow spiritually, and so you have this thought, I need to get a different job, right? And the moment that you come to the conclusion that I need to get a different job, the enemy begins to work and the lies begin to come and they begin to swirl, and you begin to say, man, but if I quit this job, I will never get another job. I mean, no one's going to hire me because I'm a quitter, and I won't be able to get a job, and I won't have a paycheck, and the next thing you know, my family is going to be out on the streets, and we won't have a house, and we won't have food, and everybody is going to hate me, right? So I'll just stay in this job. Yeah, I know I shouldn't be working here. I know it's sucking the life out of me, but I'm so afraid I'll just stay here, right? And that happens. Maybe there's something that's in your relationship with your husband, your wife, your fiance, boyfriend, girlfriend. It's something that needs to be brought up. It should be discussed. It's something you need to talk about. And the moment you resolve that you need to bring this up and you need to talk about it, the lies begin to come and the deception begins to happen. And you think, oh, man, but if I bring that up, then that's going to cause an argument. And that argument is going to get big and it's going to get nasty. And then they're going to storm out of the house. And next thing you know, we're going to be divorced. And then I'm going to be a single parent. And then my friends are going to look at me and I'm such a loser. I can't hang on to my wife. And my parents are going to say I'm such a disappointment. And on and on and on and on it goes. So you know what? I'm just not going to bring it up. It's easier if I don't. And I know it's killing our relationship. And I know it's kind of robbing us of the joy that we could have. But you know, the potential consequences are so bad. I'm not going to. You see how this works? This is the way the enemy keeps us bound up. This is how he keeps us from having life. It's so joy-sucking if we don't expose the lies for what it is. Or maybe you're a spiritual seeker. You've been thinking about having a relationship with God. And you've been coming to a church here, maybe at Next Level or a church like Next Level. And there's something in you that says, I want that thing. I want what they have. I want a relationship with God. I want it to be restored. I want to be enough. And the moment you resolve to do that, the lies and deceptions come in. They begin to say, oh, well then I'm just going to have to give up everything fun in life ever. And then I'm just going to have to do this, and I'm going to have to become like these people and look like these people and think like these people. And it's just, I'm going to lose all my current friends that I've got, and I'm never going to have any friends anymore. And
It's not true. But you think it is, so therefore you just resolve and you go, yeah, you know what, I'm just not going to do the God thing. This is how lies work. This is how the enemy uses deception. Fear thrives on deception. It thrives on keeping us guessing about what it is, and it is in exposing the lie and being able to speak truth that we find freedom. Psalms chapter 15, the psalmist says this, "Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill?" And what I like is the response here in verse 2. He said, "Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right." And this next phrase is really important. "Speaking the truth from sincere hearts." The psalmist is telling us that we will have to learn how to speak truth into our heart. That there's a lie that we have to tell ourselves, that's not true. And you have to learn how to speak truth into your heart so you can counteract the lies with what is true. The power of truth is the only thing that beats the power of deceit. And you have to learn how to speak these things into you. Speak what is true and speak what is true and stop letting fear and the enemy take you to the worst case scenarios. I actually learned a new word as I was researching this. I didn't know it was a word. It's called catastrophizing. Did I say that? Catastrophizing. Taking everything and making it catastrophic. And that is what fear does. You got to stop and you got to speak what is true. Which leads me to my third point. You will have to face the fear if you're ever going to conquer it. You have to face the fear if you're ever going to conquer it. So I've exposed what's the root of it. I've said that that is a lie, and now I've got to walk headlong into it. And sometimes facing that fear, you just got to keep telling your heart what is true. What is true? What is true? What is true? There are times in my life where I have to say, and maybe this is helpful to you, I have to say out loud, stop it, stop it, stop it. This is not true. It's enough to jar my head into what is reality. You see, you have to face the fear, and this is where God comes in. You kind of own a little bit of the responsibility in the first two, but when you face fear and you choose to head long into it, this is where God says, all right, now I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to be with you as you go through this. I'm not going to remove it from you, but I'm going to teach you how to conquer it. I'm going to teach you how to get past it. And so I want to give you a couple of scriptures here that have helped me in facing down whatever it is that I'm afraid of, in facing down whatever it is, decision that I need to make that has me so paralyzed, the thing that I know that God has called me to do and wants me to do. How do I face it? I quote scripture, and I want to give you three that you can begin to speak and say out loud. You can just say, stop it, this is not true, and you can begin to speak this. And the first one's found in Psalms 34:4. It says, "When I sought the Lord, he answered me, and he delivered me from my fears." One of the things as I begin to face headlong into my fear that I tell myself is that God will answer me. He's delivered me from my fears in the past. He did this, and I begin to recount this, 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 and this. And I will say all the things that God has got me past, and then I will say, and he will deliver me from this fear here. That's what's true. The next verse in Joshua 1:9 says this, do not tremble or be dismayed. In other words, don't be shaken. For the Lord your God is with you. Where is he with you? Wherever you go. If you choose to face and walk headlong into that fear, into that thing that God has asked you to do that you're afraid of addressing, that's where you'll find God. He will be with you wherever you go. He You say, well, what's he doing when he is with me? Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. He says, God is our refuge and our strength. When he is with you, he is that safe place. That's what a refuge is. That is the place that protects. And it is the place of strength. That when he is with you, he will strengthen you. And then I love this next thing. He is a proven friend in time of need. If you will go headlong into the thing that you're afraid of, God will be your friend. He has proven himself through all these things. He is a friend when you're in need. When you need him, he's going to be there. When you need him to strengthen you, to give you courage, to speak affirmation into your life, he will be there. And so on this day, God is standing in front of us with all the challenges, with his hands out to the timid and the fearful in front of us, and he is saying, I think, just two simple words. It's the thing that God gave me this week, the thing that I was saying, okay, God, this is, if I'm going to speak for you, what would it be? And he said, it's really this. Just tell my people, it's time. It's time. I think he's saying that to many of us this morning. You have suffered under the fear and the tyranny of deception and lies, and it's time. It's time to break free. It's time to stop allowing fear to control your life. God is saying it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to take advantage to all the divine assistance that's available to you. It's time to get moving. It's time to break the chains of fear that is there. It's time for some of you to start doing that thing that your heart is just longing to do that you've been putting off because you're just afraid. It's time for you to renew something. And he says, look, I'm going to move out, and that's what I'm going to do. I've been thinking about this for a while, and it's just been fear that has stopped me. It's time for some of you to go to some places that you've always wanted to go, but you haven't gone because you were afraid. It's time for some of you to launch out into some new dreams and some new things that God has sparked into your heart, new actions that something in your heart says, that's what I want to do. Oh, I'm so excited about that. But for so long now, you've just been afraid, and so you haven't taken any action. I believe the creator of the universe is speaking to you, and he's saying, look, it's time. It's time for you to reignite dreams and visions. It's time for some of us to face that thing that we've always wanted to face and stare down and actually conquer and move past. But fear has kept us from doing it. I believe the word of the Lord is that it's time. It's time to step into that. Some of you, you're here today and you've been seeking God and investigating God, and you've been checking out all the things. You've been getting answers to your questions, and I believe God is just speaking to you, and he's saying, look, it's time. It's time for you and I to really begin to know each other. It's time for you to accept the salvation and the restoration that I have. You don't need any more answers to your questions. You don't need to investigate it any further. What are you afraid of? It's time for us to get reacquainted. No more timidity. No more fear. I think it's time for many of us in this room to find out what the actual strength and power of God is all about and begin to move into it. When you face the fear that is sitting in front of you, you will experience God's strong hand like you never have before. You will experience the words of Jesus that when he says, when you are weak, I am strong. And for many of us in here, it's just time. It's time for that to take place. And the Holy Spirit is whispering that into your heart even now. Do you hear him? It's time. It's time. I'm going to put on the screen that verse in 2 Timothy one more time for us to just contemplate. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Some of us in this room, today is the day that you face fear. Today is the day that you're going to look fear in the eye and you say, on this day, on July 16th, 2017, it was time and I'm heading out. I believe it's time. Let's all pray. So Jesus, here in this space, as we begin to mark this time, many of us are coming into this thing, and some of us in this room, maybe we've been spiritually seeking you, and we've been asking questions, and we've been needing answers, and we have all these things that are going on. It's just time for us. If that's you, what I would say is somewhere in your heart, in some way, you just surrender to God and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to accept your forgiveness. I'm ready to move into whatever life with you there is. God, I surrender my life to you. I give you everything that I am. Today's my day. For those of us in this room that have accepted God, but there's just something sitting in front of us, something that God has placed in our hearts, something that he wants us to do, some dream that we have, but we've just been too afraid. Maybe today is your day for you to say, God, come give me the strength to track this thing down, to expose the lie. But today, Lord, I'm going to face it head on. I'm going to walk straight into it. God, help me. Because right now, I am so stinking afraid. And I know that your word says that you haven't given us that spirit, timidity, and fear. But God, I'm afraid. So come, Holy Spirit, give me power. Give me strength. Give me what I need so that I can overcome the fear that's here. Jesus, I pray for all of us here that we would mark this day as the day that you came alongside of us and we conquered some of our biggest fears. Jesus, be with us. Guide us, lead us. That we can become more like you. Grow us up. That we can become effective tools. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.